Welcome to Crossway today. Please join us as we worship God and hear his word.
Us bringing the confession of our sin. And these are moments when we take off our mask. And these are moments when we put aside what maybe the person next to us thinks about us. And we bring ourselves just as we are. And in our worship, we confess our sin. So we're just going to take a few moments to do that. Maybe as you do that, just hold your hands out before God as a sign of saying, Lord, here I am. I've sinned. Maybe you need to name some of those things, maybe in the quietness of your heart before God. Lord, I have sinned. I've broken your heart. I've done things that sent you to the cross for me. Sin that weighed on your shoulders. I come just as I am. set me free. I ask you to take away my sin and my guilt and my shame, and make my sin as far as the east is from the west from me.
Reality of that for each and every day. God, you are so good, and we love to worship you.
Well, we've been here at Kajabi for nearly 17 years. So we joined up to work here at the hospital. It's about a 300-bed hospital. It takes patients from all around Kenya and even the surrounding countries.
I think over time, as we've been here, we've realised that, Kenya is basically a Christian country, but we've discovered there's a big need for discipling and helping people to go deeper in their faith. In early 2014, we did Kairos at Crossway. And as we were going through the course, we felt like, wow, this course would be so good if we could run this course at Kajabi. It's been such a blessing to be able to come back to Kenya after home assignment and bring Kairos to Kajabi Hospital. It has been so exciting. And we see people that the eyes light up. We've seen Kenyan Christians just say, wow, I never knew that God had a plan for me. We've had them look at us and say, I thought it was just you guys that were missionaries, but now I see that God's calling me to go out. That's been just so exciting.
My name is Lillian Carland. I am a Crossway international staff sent to the Balkans, several countries in the Balkans. So what I do daily is look for contacts where I can talk, that I can embrace, that I can visit. The core of all of this is to enable and facilitate church planting. I met this woman about 2 years ago because a friend of mine said to me that she was fearful that this lady will take her own life. And I sense very much an urge, a nudge by God to go immediately. We went there and truly there was a rope in her attic that she already was planning to take her own life. We then ministered to her, we loved her, she cried, she couldn't understand the concept of God who loves. She couldn't understand that at all. So for the two of us, we were going there as regularly as we could. When she finally understood the concept of Christ died for her as well as for us, she cried endlessly and just received Christ and was thanking God. And then in the end she said, "My circumstances haven't changed a bit, but all changed in me."
What a great story of transformation as God is working there in Serbia around the world. What a great story of transformation as God is working there in Serbia. And of course in Kenya as well, seeing a whole new wave of people going out. Kenyans understanding they have been made for the purpose of God and are heading out there as well. I thank God for Crossway, for what's happening here in Melbourne, but also for what's happening around the world because of you folks here as you lift your eyes up to what God is doing and your role in that. It's great to be with you again today. Thank you for this chance to spend some time with you over these 2 weekends. Again, a welcome to all of those who are joining us online. It's just quite amazing to think of literally thousands of people around the world. Big shout out to anybody from Northern Ireland listening in. Gotcha. You'll be the one group who understand me today. And of course, to the Southeast Campus, we're really glad that you're able to listen in. And I'm sorry I will not get to meet you folks, but praise God for what he's doing in your midst as well. Great. Well, we're going to dive into the scripture again and look into this idea of our purpose and our purpose for God. I have just enjoyed unpacking this a little bit, both last Sunday and during the week with the youth group or the young adults. I appreciate what I just want to say thank you again to Dale and Edie for this invitation to be with you and allow me to be here for that invitation. It's something I do not take for granted and say thank you. You know, last week we looked at this idea that we were created for one purpose and one purpose alone, that God, before time, in eternity, thought of a people for himself that would be in relationship with him. And those people, through this relationship, could get to share in his glory. This whole idea of our identity being the children of God, that we are joint heirs with Christ, that we are a people who have been loved, we are a people who have been chosen, we're a people who have been adopted into the family of God, and that is who we are, and no one can change that reality. What an incredible privilege to be the children of God. And as we are the children of God, we get to share in who our Father is, get to share in who God is in all his glory. That's our privilege. But that privilege comes with a role to reflect his glory back to the world. Paul says he did this so that we would be for the praise of his glory, that as we understand our identity, we can fulfill this role of reflecting back to the world who we are as the children of God, that we get to reflect back to the world the glory of God. What an incredible truth. That's our identity, and from that flows our purpose. And remember, we talked about this, if we have an identity of crisis, we will have an identity of purpose. So last week we looked at the why. Purpose speaks to why. This week we're going to look a little bit more at the what. So God didn't just simply launch us out onto the planet and say, "I want you to reflect my glory to the world as you understand who I am." He actually gave us more direction than that again. So just as our purpose is not up for discussion, Our Creator was the one who decided our purpose. Also, our role has been clearly, I believe, clearly laid out for us. Now, as we go into this morning, I am conscious that there are often two types of people, and I have been in both of those places, believe me. There are two types of people that I meet. The first group are a group of people who are struggling to know how they live their life out or what they should be doing in life. Yes, they get this idea that they're on the planet for God and His purpose, but what does that mean on a day-to-day basis? And they look around them, and the multiplicity of choices paralyzes them. I don't know what to do. And so our default is to do nothing until somehow we are waiting for that light from God or that nudge from God or that call from God, as we often refer to it, to say, this is what I want you to do. And I meet so many Christians sitting around saying, God has not called me yet into ministry, or God has not called me into His purpose. Now, hopefully last week you understood that we're not called to the purpose of God. We're made for the purpose of God. And that also refers to what we're going to talk about today. And so if you're the type of person who's saying, well, I'm really not sure what I should be doing, I hope today, my prayer is today, that you will have some guidelines as to how you can actually discover that, and that so much of that has already been revealed. And we'll see why in a minute. But then there's another group of people, and these people are particularly prevalent, certainly in the U.S., where I now spend most of my time. And that is this whole idea that you've believed the lie that you can be anything you want to be. Okay? So if you're a donkey, and I have a story about this in my book, if you're a donkey, you can be a racehorse, you know? And if you just believe it enough, someday you'll be at the Derby. But that's a lie. You cannot be anything you want to be. And quite frankly, why would you want to be anything that you want to be? You're a finite human being with a few years of experience. But let me tell you this. You can be everything God created you to be. And I would rather be what God created me to be than be the person I want to be with my finite, simple little mind. And so I don't know which side of the camp you're on, but this morning I want us to look back into Scripture and understand that you have been uniquely shaped for the purpose of God. That not only did God before time decide and define your purpose to be His child, a reflection of who He is on the planet, He also decided other things that will impact how you actually do that on earth. And each of us have been created very uniquely. And therefore, each of us will do it differently. Each of us will reflect God's glory in different ways. And so that's where we want to go this morning. So let's dive into Scripture. Ephesians 2, and you're welcome to turn to it if you want to, just to be able to refer back to it throughout the message. But in Ephesians 2:10, we're going to read it from this translation first. For we are what He has made us. Now that is a rather simple statement in one sense, but in a very profound statement in another sense. Paul is stating here, speaking again to our identity and speaking again to our purpose. We are who He has made us to be. See, the reality is, back to what I just referenced, is that so many of us are struggling with who we are. And we're trying to be somebody else. And we're looking at other people. We're saying, boy, if only I could do that, I would be much more effective. Or if only I could look or be involved in that, I would be so more effective as a follower of Jesus. But Paul's saying, you are who He has made you to be. You are what He has made you to be. And so there's this whole idea of embrace it. Embrace it. And don't mess with the masterpiece that is you, who God has made. For we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we're created for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. And so Paul is once again taking us out of time into eternity, like he did in the first chapter. And he's saying something else was decided before time. And it was the good works that God would have you do while you're on the planet. And He was preparing those good works, but He was also preparing you to do those good works. So do you get this? That before God made you, he thought of what he wanted you to do, and then he made you accordingly so that you could do it. Let's look at this other translation. For we are his masterpiece. So God has put you together in such a way that as he stands back and looks at what he's made in you, his thought is masterpiece. And I want that to sink into you this morning, because you know what? So many of us sometimes are dissatisfied with who we are. Part of that is we don't fully understand who we are, but even sometimes when we understand that, we're somehow asking God for something else. Rather than saying, God, I am not only satisfied, I am excited by who you've made me to be, because you know all things, and therefore I embrace it and I step into it. We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So before God made you, he thought of what he wanted you to do, and then he made you accordingly to do those good works. Paul references this in the context of his own life. The psalmist references it in the context of his life. Jeremiah talks about it as well. This idea that before I was born, God, you were setting me apart for a purpose. You were knitting me together in such a way, a marvelous way, a wonderful way, so that I could live out my life for your purpose. And so if we want to understand what God wants us to do, not our purpose, because that's already been defined, but our role in that purpose, then we should look at how he made us and then seek to live it out. Paul's saying that he thought of the good works and then he made you in such a way to do those good works, and each of our good works are different. So let's unpack this a little bit. Eric Ries, many years ago, came up with this acronym SHAPE. Again, that's a word that if I say in my normal accent, you won't understand. SHAPE. SHAPE. Okay? SHAPE. And I unpack it a little bit further in the book, Scatter, which I think have all gone now. So if you haven't got a copy, you can buy it online. And it's actually, they have a special right now, so it was the same price out there. But Scatter, just put Scatter Andrew Scott a little bit. Right, sums up me as a person, my teachers used to say, a little scattered, but you can get that online. But I lay this out in a little bit more depth. Shape. God has uniquely shaped us for his purpose. What does that mean? God has given us spiritual gifts. He's given us a heart and passion. He's given us abilities, personality, and experience. And these are the things he's put inside us so that we could uniquely live out our role, our life for his purpose to glorify him on the earth. And so it's imperative that if God has done that inside us, we understand what that is so that we can embrace it and then live it out and not try to live out somebody else's shape. And so what do these five things mean? Well, first, spiritual gifts. I think we all understand that. We've been around church, I'm sure, long enough to understand that when we come to Christ through the Holy Spirit, we are given gifts that are within us so that we can build up the body. And we focus quite a bit of attention on that in church. But some of the other ones we may not have put enough attention on that I believe are every bit as God-given and are part of what he's put inside you so that you can live out who you are in the world to reflect his glory. Heart or passion. God has given you all passions. And Edie was just telling me that actually a while ago she did a survey or she asked you to submit your passions, and many of you submitted passions. Things that you get really excited about. Things that make you really happy. Or maybe even things that when you hear it makes you really sad or angry. So much so that you must step in and do something about it. Right? Those, I believe, are from God. Now, absolutely, Satan has tried to distort our passions and cause them to be used for sin. But when we are in Christ, all things have been made new, and I believe those passions under Jesus should be used for his purpose. You know, I love soccer. I've never been great at it, but I'm good enough to play for a local team. And still on a Tuesday night, when I'm at home, I'll play with a local team. Why? Well, because if God gave me that passion, I should be using it. First of all, it helps me stay in shape or get in shape or at least be not as in bad shape as I would be if I wasn't playing. But it also allows me to be among non-believers where I can actually reflect, hopefully, the glory of God through my attitude, and through my ability. I love animals, so I show and breed dogs. That takes me into a non-Christian world and allows me to reflect. But things that I'm passionate about, and when you do them, like Eric Liddell, you feel the pleasure of God. You know, the runner in Chariots of Fire. What are those things in your life that that give you joy or that you must do? Pay attention to them, because I believe God has given them to you as a pointer to how you should live out your life. And you know that if you're passionate about something, you will have a lot of energy, you will have a lot of drive to do it. Abilities, natural abilities, every bit is God-given as spiritual gifts, but sometimes we've felt we have to lay our natural abilities aside in order to serve God. Certainly in missions, we have for years told people, if you want to come and do missions, you must leave your job and come do this other thing we call ministry. But I believe that God has given us all natural abilities, and actually it's a major pointer as to how you should live out your life on the planet. And so if you're an engineer, and you're good at being an engineer, and you're passionate about being an engineer, then God would have you, at least for part of your life, because sometimes our roles change. God would have you to be an engineer, a doctor, an accountant, an athlete, an artist. God has put these abilities in us. And as we are good at them, as we're passionate about them, then we rise, and excellence, glory shines through that. Personality, we've all different personalities. Some of us are extrovert, some of us are introvert, some of us are in between. Those of us that are extrovert, that get our energy from being around people, want to be in the crowds all the time. Those of us that are introverts want to be alone all the time. So pay attention to that. I've met people who are trying to be salespeople, for example, are out there in among people all the time, and they're introverts, and they wonder why they're exhausted every day when they come home. Because God has not wired you that way. Pay attention to it. Or an extrovert who's working in a laboratory every day, just putting test tubes of, you know, liquid into little test tubes, and they're going, why am I dying inside? Pay attention to the personality that God has given. All of these are pointers and experience. Your education experience, your vocational experience, your life experiences, the good things that have happened, the bad things that have happened, all of these things are shaping us into who God has made us to be. And Paul tells us that even before we were born, or even in advance, which I believe is in eternity past, God was thinking of all of the good works that we as individuals should be part of, and he was starting to knit us together, to put us together in such a way that we could step into those and not just simply get by, or not just simply do some mediocre job, or not just simply get through life with some grumpy attitude because we're hating our world, but actually stepping into it because we're living in the center of what we're passionate about, what we're good at, that fits our personality. And as we do that, we reflect his glory back to the world, because I believe this, that his image is best reflected through us when we live out what he has made us to be. And when we're living in our shape, I believe that there's a joy that emanates, there's a passion that emanates, there's a peace that emanates from us. That doesn't mean every day's perfect, but for the majority of the time, I believe that can happen. As someone once said, find something that you love to do and you'll never work another day in your life. And I believe there's a biblical truth in that. Find your shape and step into it. And so as the people of God, it is our responsibility, I believe, to do the work of understanding how God has made us. And as we do, to a large degree, the mystery goes out of what he would want us to do. And we shouldn't be sitting around going, God, what do you want me to do? How do I reflect your glory to the world? Well, he's already written it on the template of your life. And our job is to understand what that is and step into it for his glory and for his purpose. And then thirdly, the first one was we've been created for the purpose of God. Secondly, we were uniquely shaped for the purpose of God. And then finally is we were created to scatter for the purpose of God. We were created to be a people on the move. We were created to live out our life throughout the earth. You know, I love the reference that Dale mentioned earlier on in the earlier service, and I believe this fully about church, that this is not where it happens. our mission in the world. This, you come in here to be equipped to go out there to fulfill your mission in the world. The mission of God in your hands as you step out into the world. God has made us to be a people on the move. And so we come here to be built up and strengthened and to encourage one another. And then we go back out into the world. We scatter into the world, into the neighborhoods where God has placed us, into the marketplaces where God has placed us, to be who He has created us to be, so that the world will see us and see God's glory through our lives. You see, there as we finish in Ephesians 1 and 2, we go back to Genesis. So Ephesians 1 and 2 is happening before time. Genesis 1, time begins, the Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit standing in front of creation, saying, we have made man in our own image. The most perfect reflection of who we are on the planet. And He gives them this mandate. This mandate now, as you've been made in our image, to be in relationship with us, to reflect our glory back to the world. You're uniquely shaped to go do that in many different ways as you govern the earth. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. I want you to fill the earth and govern it. Now, I used to think, and I was taught this, believed this, and growing up in Ireland, I could see how we got there, that this was all about having lots of babies. And we were pretty good at it. Apart from my family, we only have two kids, my wife and I, so we've just replaced ourselves. I don't think that's really multiplication. So good thing this is not simply about procreation. This, I believe, is God, the Godhead saying to His creation, as we've created you in our image to be in relationship with us so that our glory will be reflected all over the earth through your life, uniquely shaped to do that, would you go and make more of those who are in relationship with us? And would you be so fruitful at it that you will multiply, and would you multiply so much that all of the earth will be filled with people who are in relationship with us? And this is the basic mandate of the Godhead to creation. This is the purpose, the role, the journey on which we should be going on. And many years later, God the Son was standing on top of a mountain, and as He'd spent the 3 years with His disciples, he basically reiterated that early mandate using different words. He's saying, go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, would you go and make more of who I've made you to be? Would you go and be so fruitful that every nation is filled with people who are in relationship with me, who are making more disciples as a result of what they know and what they find out about my teachings, and baptizing them in the name of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, bringing them into the family of God? That was the mandate that Jesus reiterated to creation. And so we have been given this clear mandate as the people of God that, yes, we've been made for His purpose. We've been uniquely shaped for His purpose, but we need to be a people that are living our life for that purpose, and that it's not a time, or it's not our role to get stuck and settled and be all about us, but that we are to be constantly in and around people, those that don't know God, reflecting His glory to them so that they too can come in to that relationship with Him. What does that look like in today's world? Well, you know, if we look at Scripture, we see wonderful examples of Joseph and Esther and Daniel and David and others that God tells us through His written word, how that was lived out in the context of the Old Testament. But Alan is someone, a friend of mine, that I've gotten to know while I've been in the U.S. Many years ago, Alan's father asked him, would he take over the family business? Now, Alan, in his heart, was feeling a pull to the nations, and he felt that was maybe God's call on his life. But after praying, he and his brother felt they needed to stay in Nashville, Tennessee, to take on the father's business. And as they did, they went into the Word for a year saying, okay, we want to be really careful that as we do this, we continue to wrap our life around the purpose of God. So let's look at what God would say to us now in the context of this role of running the business. And they did that. And after a year, they became convinced that one of the things that they had to do to protect themselves was to cap their salary, because God had a lot to say about money and how money can often follow our own plan and our own desires, and it can get sidetracked and pushed towards what we would like to do personally in our life rather than God's purpose for our life. And so they capped their salary, and they said, we will never allow our salary to go above this other than inflation every year. And so their salary has increased every year according to inflation, but not as it would, as their business would typically grow. That first year, they give $50,000 away, more than both of them earned. And as it grew, they continued to give more and more money away, wrapping their life around the purpose of God, making sure that their life was lived in the context of everyone around the world having an opportunity to hear Jesus, about Jesus, both locally and globally. Just a few years back, his business became a $250 million business, and he decided that he couldn't trust himself any longer, and he handed the whole business over to a foundation. They now own it. He doesn't. He continues to run it. He continues to run it well. It's growing every year. He pours money back in to build a business, but the business is owned by a Christian foundation who holds on to the rights. And every month, Alan and his brother give away $2 million to local and global ministry. What does it mean to live out my purpose and to fulfill the role God has given us? It's wrapping our life around. Remember, we looked at last week that a purpose is a statement that defines our reason for existence. And as we live out our purpose, it will impact how we use all of our resources of time, talent, and treasure. How are we using that, your time, your talent, your treasure? How are we using that in the context of that purpose? Are we stepping in, and is it our priority, or is it just one of many priorities? Is it the thing that causes us to live out our whole life in its context, or is it just one of many things that our life is wrapped around? Mary stepped out of her industry where she was growing, or where she was working as a nurse, and she went to another country as a nurse. She realized that God had made her a nurse. He made her passionate about being a nurse, and she stepped into that. And she said, as I was chatting to her, she said, I knew I was coming here to do this as unto the Lord, not to an earthly master, and I was doing it for His glory. And as she did it, as she went around the hospital, she was noticed very quickly as being different. There's something different about Mary. And her boss called her aside and said, look, Mary, we're watching you, and the way you live out your life as a nurse is excellent. And we would ask you, could you train other nurses to do the same? And so Mary put a program together, and she trained all the nurses. And it was so successful that the CEO of the hospital noticed. And he said, what's happening? And they told him. And he said, well, if that's the case, I want everybody in the hospital, all the doctors and the specialists, to be trained as well. And so they brought them together, and Mary trained all the people in the hospital, so much so that this hospital won an award for excellence in medical care as a result of it. The CEO said, Mary will report to me from now on, a little bit like Daniel, a little bit like Joseph, eh? Same story. And you know, every week Mary would bring together a number of her nursing friends who didn't know Jesus into a Bible study and explore the teachings of Jesus. She would take her material down to the photocopy room, which was held under lock and key by the religious police in this Muslim country, and she would hand it over. It was clearly Christian material, and he would photocopy it and give it back. Mary almost became untouchable in that hospital. Why? Because they saw in Mary someone who was working for the good of the hospital. She was living out her life as a nurse, being excellent in her attitude, in her actions. She was reflecting the glory of God through how He had made her to be. And it was attracting people to her. And every day, Mary told me, every day she got opportunities because people would say, Mary, you're such a good nurse. You should really be a Muslim. And she would say, why should I be a Muslim? And they would never be able to give a good answer. And she said, well, can I tell you why I follow Jesus? And every day she got the opportunity to share her faith. God has uniquely shaped you to live out your life. And as Louis Giglio says in the foreword of my book, he said, throughout history, one of the greatest hindrances to filling the global mission of Jesus is the idea that people must leave what they were doing and begin doing something new for the kingdom. The radical idea on Packed and Scattered is that it's likely that what you're already doing just might be the best door opener for you to be able to join God in His global work. It's not about what you do. It's about doing whatever you do for the sake of reflecting the face of Jesus to the world. And so if you're a nurse, if you're an engineer, if you're an accountant, if you're a doctor, a dentist, a plumber, a carpenter, whatever you are today, and you're believing, yeah, this is something I love doing, God has made me to be this, then see that he's made you to be that, not simply to get a pay packet at the end of the week to pay your bills, but he's made you for something far bigger than that, to reflect his glory through that back to the world, so that they will see Jesus in your life, and that when the time comes, you will be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. And every day, you're not simply going to work. Every day, you're living out your God-given purpose through the unique shape he has given you as you go out from this place, hopefully fully equipped and fully encouraged and fully built up to go be who he's made you to be out there in the world. So you've been created uniquely to scatter for the purpose of God. And so whether you're the guy looking in many doors not knowing what to do, or the other who thinks you may be a racehorse when you're only a donkey, or maybe you're a racehorse and you want to be a donkey, I don't know. But I want you to understand this, that you don't have to wait for any other nudge from God. You don't have to wait for a burning bush or a blinding light. You have been called to his purposes. You've been made for his purposes. You have been put on this earth for his purpose, and he has uniquely shaped you, so much so that he's called it a masterpiece to live that out on this earth. So find out how he's made you and start to live it out for the glory of God. And my challenge, because this is what I've seen so often in my life, and if you look through history, what's happened over and over again in biblical history and modern history, is that we as people tend to go back to that little piece that we talked about last week, and we try to make our life about us, that we become the picture. And yes, we invite God in to make us safe, keep us safe. And we're wanting to settle and become comfortable. And that happens very, very quickly, believe me. And what happens when we settle is we get stuck. And our life becomes about us. And we get distracted. Distracted away from this God-given purpose, this role that we were to live and fulfill in life. And another word for that is disobedience. And I know none of us as followers of Jesus want to live in a disobedient life. And so as I finish, I just want to put this challenge out to you as the people of God, that you have been made for him. And you will be restless, as St. Augustine said, you will be restless until you find your rest in him. You've been made for the purpose of God. And as you leave this place today, will you commit once again afresh to saying, Father, my time, my talent, my treasure are yours. And as I go out into my own neighborhood, as I go out into the marketplace that you've put me in, I will live out my life for your purpose. Yes, it may be challenging. Yes, I may get laughed at. Yes, it's not going to be easy. But you haven't called me to ease. You've called me for your purpose. And you are with me each step of the way. I want to commit my life to that, for your greater purpose and your glory. Maybe that be true of Crossway. What would it look like if every member of Crossway Church left this place every Sunday on mission with God as ordinary people in the world? You've been equipped to do so.
No chain is strong enough.
If you have prayer needs or would like to discuss your personal relationship with God, we have people waiting to speak with you and to pray for you. Our telephone lines are open for the next 30 minutes, so why not phone us now on 03 9886 3700. To buy a copy of today's message on CD, send a cheque for $6 to Crossway Resource Centre, 2 Vision Drive, Burwood East, Vic 3151. Remember, our telephone help is open right now for the next 30 minutes on 03 9886 3700. Our Sunday services, including Children's Church, run at 8:45 a.m, 10:15 a.m, 11:45 a.m and 6 p.m. at the Crossway Centre in Burwood East. We also hold Cantonese, Mandarin, Indonesian and Korean services, plus satellite services at Craigieburn and Moreland, youth on Friday nights and young adults on Tuesdays. To help support the cost of producing this weekly radio program, send your donation to Crossway Radio Ministry, 2 Vision Drive, Burwood East, Vic 3151. For more information about Crossway, visit us on the web at crossway.org.au.